of a fifth grade, I believe is the age. If I'm wrong, someone else will correct me. Fifth grade and up, there is a kids service, a kids church. You guys can just follow Jack and Lily right here. They're heading that way. And also, if you have a baby, you're more than welcome to take them back to the nursery over there. If you don't know where you're going for that, there's plenty of nice people you can ask, or you can meet me by the sound booth and I can show you how to get there.
I was thinking that we were coming up together, and then I came up alone. You did. All right. So, sorry, it's a little weird for me to get up twice in one day when I'm not teaching. So, Gary's teaching today, so I'm super excited to hear Gary. I've actually never, in the last year I've been here, never heard Gary speak, so I'm excited for today. I hear he's spoken before, and I've heard great things. So,
that's
Gary.
Why you're excited.
Yeah. Well. So, Gary asked me to read a passage today, and before I read this passage for you guys, I just kind of want to pray over Gary and for myself, because I'm all sorts of a shamble. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Gary. Thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you for the fact that you poured out your heart for us, Lord God, so we could find you in this glorious way, Lord God, in a way that we can just pick up any moment and just be able to find you. And so, God, as we read your word today and as we take a deeper look into it, Lord God, we pray that we see your face, Lord God, and that we are encouraged. In your name we pray. And, Lord God, I also ask that you lift up Gary, Lord God, that you would just speak through him today, that he would just be a willing vessel for you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm just going to read real quick, like you asked me to. Psalms 131.
One of us is together.
All right, I'm going to read Psalms 131 for you guys. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Buckle up. There's three verses. Oh, Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised to high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Oh, Israel, hope in the Lord, for from this time forth and forevermore. Psalms 131.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you. I am blessed. I think it's Travis. Are you the tall guy, Travis?
Tyler.
Doggone it. You're dealing with old people today, folks. Anyway, thank you, Tyler. You tried to give me the ear mic. I'll tell you, when you got hearing aids, those things conflict. Not in the sound, but in how they fit. I got glasses and hearing aids on the same ear, and then that thing. And it's a challenge. Thank you for being here today. Are your eyes lifted up? Do you know what this is talking about? Things too great for me? That's almost everything anymore. Too great for me. We can fill our minds and our hearts with so much stuff, can't we? And I'm not making fun of this. I just don't know how to use it. But with social media and all our friends, we can connect and get their opinions, my opinions, his opinions, her opinions. And pretty soon, we've got things in our mind that they're probably okay. But what's happening in this psalm, it's a psalm of pilgrimage. These people are on a journey. They're going to Jerusalem to worship. And I like to think of kind of like a church camp out where the people move in and they sit together. But they're on a journey. We're on a journey. Oh, I can't come down here. I'm on the camera. Anyway, we're on a journey together because we're going to Zion to worship the living God. And so this is one of the songs they would sing. Now, just recently, I had to learn some new songs. I don't know what tune they used. Maybe I wouldn't even like it. But they sang a song together that talked about how is the condition of my heart. My heart is not lifted up. So it's only fair to ask, how is yours? See, we're on a journey. We're headed to heaven. Do you understand that? Wait till you're 70. It'll soak in. You're going someplace. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't understand how powerful His name is. But those of us who have given our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're on a journey. We want to go home and be with Jesus. That's a simple way to put it. I can't wait for heaven, but I have to. And while I'm waiting, what's the condition of what I see and hear? What's the condition of my mind? Because I am easily distracted, and that's how I was when I was 5, 2, and 6, and 7. I had someone read an article about what's that condition you can have when you can't stay focused? Yeah. I thought, boy, that's me. They wrote that article for me. We're easily distracted as Christians, and we get our mind filled with things that have nothing to do with God, or they're really God's business. It really should not have to be my concern. But because I hear it, and I get involved in my own opinions of it, it starts to become mine. I start to own it. And what happens is I don't lose my faith, but I lose my focus of direction. I actually think I'm going to live here, and I better fix things so I can live here. But come on, folks, we're not going to live here for all eternity. God's going to rearrange things someday. And when you're my age, and I remember my parents talking about this, how terrible it was during World War II. They lived in Portland at the time, and they had to cover your lights. Some of them had to work at night, so they had to drive, and they had to have their headlights on. They had to cover their lights because Japan was going to come, and they'd see our lights, and they know where to drop their bombs. And they just lived in this horrible fear. Have you experienced a recent fear? Yeah. Yeah, how did you respond to that? How much of that flooded your mind and helped you decide what to do? And that whole time, this God we just sang about, the Lord Jesus Christ, was in charge, and He wanted our focus, didn't He? And so you might go to church and hear it, or you might hear a Christian song on the radio and hear it, and you turn your direction back to God, and what would happen? What you were afraid of became less. What you looked at became more. That's true whether you're looking at the situation in the world or you're looking at the faith picture in the Bible. We walk by faith, not by sight. And faith is what? From Hebrews. Can someone quote? Yeah, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we're actually fixing the anchor of our soul, and we're actually fixing our eyesight on something we can't see, but we know that we know that we know, because Christ lives in us, that it's there. The reality of the gospel is there. But something got my attention. And people are talking about it. And pretty soon I'm over here. I'm still God's child, but I'm distracted. These people are going to Jerusalem, to Zion, to worship. And so along the way, the Holy Spirit gives to David this song. And David takes responsibility for what he is thinking. Oh, Lord, my heart is not lifted up. We can practice this. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. I would say that anything that causes you to turn your eyes from Christ and faith to something else is too marvelous for you and too high for you. And maybe you better get your sight down just a little bit and look at Jesus. The Holy Spirit being right with you wants your attention, my attention, to be on Christ. Father Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. And man, he did some dumb things. Just like you and I, he made some really weird choices. Well, you know, Sarah, we're not having a kid. And God said, we're going to have a kid. I got my eyes off the fact that God said it. Let's have our own. Let's do our own thing. Sarah agrees with him. And they have an Ishmael. That didn't work out very well. But God did not remove his promise from Abraham. Neither did he remove Ishmael. I want to ask you a question. Have you birthed an Ishmael in your own life? Have you done something that was really not of God, and now you get to live with it? Part of the consequences for Abraham was he was dragging this, not the promise, he was dragging this Ishmael around with him as a remembrance. I got my eyes off of God, what he told me would happen. I didn't understand it. I decided I would help it happen. And he walked by sight, not faith. Take care of what I see. I'm responsible for that. And take care of what I think. They go together. Have you figured this out about temptation? This is the battle place for my temptation. Gary's temptations take place right up here in his head. I wish I could forget some of those things. I was at my daughter's house one time. It was when my granddaughter was about 8. And I said to her, I'm sorry, honey. I can't hear what you're saying. Papa forgot his hearing aids. And she says, oh, no, Papa, I see them. Oh, I said, I forgot to turn them on. See, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. You have your church community. Oh, I forgot. I'm distracted. I can take care of what I think, and I can take care of what I focus my eyes on. That's my responsibility. I do not occupy myself with things too great for me and too marvelous for me. For me as a older person, this flushing system would take care of politics. I cannot take care of politics by sitting around with 5 other men my age and talking about what's wrong. Because when we get up from the table, it's still wrong. So just flush it. It's not worth it. Read Psalm 2. Read Psalm 2. God of heaven is laughing. So why don't we laugh instead of cry? Second step this guy takes is I have calmed and quieted my soul. Do you know how to do that? So he takes responsibility next for his soul. I have calmed and quieted my soul. The first one might be mindfulness, but the second one is deeper. It's about my relationship with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. I can only calm and quiet my soul with time with the Lord. That's the only way it happens for me. And I need to do that early in the morning. But I wake up early, so that's okay. Like a weaned child. I would have to ask a mom how a weaned child acts. I don't remember this. But there's something, I've taken you off something, Gary, and given you something better. I'm weaning you from that so that you'll accept this. Come sit with me. And I will calm your soul. That's how I look at this. What I see can distract me. What I hear can fill my mind. I need to take care of that. Don't look at the things that cause your faith to waver. But when it comes to a soul, what's wrong between me and Christ, and the Father, I need to sit with Jesus. And I think it was mentioned today, I really appreciate when the Holy Spirit says, just a minute, Gary. But I might not hear that if I don't sit with him. Just a minute, Gary, you're distracted. When you judge that neighbor of yours, when you got angry about the situation that you heard about, that's not me. You got something between me, Gary, and you. And I want you to calm your soul and sit with me like a weaned child. And once he does that, he comes to the place where we'll always come if we sit with the Father. Verse 3. Oh, Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Now, this is laid in the Bible a long time. And so I want you to practice something with me. And you have my permission. I think God's all right with it too. Is every time they use Israel or somebody else's name and it's a blessing, put your own name there. So you could say, I read it like this. Oh, Gary, hope in the Lord. How can that happen? I've cleared my mind and I've taken business with the Lord my soul. And quietness comes. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, if you're weary and you're heavy laden, why don't you come to me? Why don't you yoke yourself up with me? Why don't you walk with me a while? And I'll take that and give you my rest. Just like a weaned child. Next time you study the Bible or you have your devotions, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the vein of truth of the bloodline that we have in Christ Jesus. And he teaches us the same thing over and over and over again because he knows what we need to walk a quiet, peaceful life. It doesn't mean ho-hum, pull the blanket over your head and don't pay attention to anything. It'll all work out. It doesn't mean that. It means while everything wild and crazy is happening around you, you can show people what Christ is like by being calm and restful. I have strong opinions, and I'm easily drawn into the conversation of, I got to fix this. This isn't right, Lord. It's like the Lord doesn't see it. But he wants me to calm myself and polish up my relationship with him. Can you say, put your name there? Oh, Gary. Oh, yeah, trust. Hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. David identifies another word for us in a psalm, and I did not look it up, but he says to himself, self-speaking, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God. Next time I start whining to you or someone starts whining to you and you know they're a Christian, say, let's say that together. Oh, Gary, why are you so downcast? Put your trust in God. Put your hope in God, Gary, from this time forth and forevermore. I want to read you a passage from 1 Peter 2:9. Sometimes it's good to remind us who we are in Christ Jesus, not who we are as the world sees us or as we see ourselves. Peter says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his glorious light. It really helps me in my spiritual walk to realize I didn't choose him. He chose me. Proverbs 19, verse 8 says, whoever gets sense loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will discover good. Maybe you need to, and I need to define what sense is. Whoever gets sense loves his own soul. This man who wrote this psalm has come to a place of surrender. Your word for us this morning, surrender. And I'd say it, but I'd probably get, is it Ashley? Hey, chalk one up for the old bald guy. Ashley was given the assignment of coming up with our word for today. Can we say it together? Like we put our fists together in one word, and she came up with surrender. Surrender to Jesus. Surrender. That's what this concludes here. Thank you for coming up with that. Ah, isn't it restful? Just to surrender to Jesus. God's got it. And our destination isn't here anyway. Our eternal destination is not here. It's in that city that's being built. And it will arrive for us. When I was I want to just tell you a little bit about my journey. I was born and raised in Kalispell, Montana. And I lived there till I was 18. At the age 14... we had revival meetings at our church. I was blessed to grow up in a home that honored God. My parents, Herschel and Bernice, boy, you don't hear that very often anymore. Herschel and Bernice Hooley made sure we were in church every Sunday. And there was this rebellion by my two older sisters. I remember them talking. When Dad tells us to get ready for church, we're not going. And so as a little brother, I thought, boy, this is going to be good. So I snuck in where I could listen. And they made that statement to my dad. He says, the bus for church leaves in 5 minutes and you better be on it. End of discussion. So that's kind of how I was raised. Well, when you're raised that way, that's good. You get a foundation. But I didn't think God's goodness was running after me. I thought, wow, you don't go to church, you're going to get whacked. And this song we sing about God's goodness. Don't you, aren't you, and doesn't that just bless you that he's running after you with his goodness? Man, his goodness is why I want to stay by his side. Anyway, in the church I went to, the ladies sat on this side. All the ladies, even the girls. And the boys and men sat on this side. I had four sisters. I was wedged right in the middle of four girls. It explains a little bit, doesn't it? Anyway, they had to sit with Mom, and I got to sit with Dad. All the way to church, our car was crowded, because then two little brothers came along, kind of tagged along. There were seven of us in a car, no seat belts. There couldn't have been. Wouldn't have done any good. We were all piled together in this car, and they were mean to me. I didn't deserve it. But we'd get to church, and I'd say, ha-ha, I get to sit with Dad. And it kind of irritated them. And my next older sister would look around Mom's back and stick her tongue out. So we were good Christian kids. But I am so thankful for my parents and the foundation they built for me. You're standing on somebody's foundation if they were Christians. They tried their best to build on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you would grow up understanding a God who was good for you, pursued you, and that the enemy would try to get between you and God any way he can. Thank you, Jesus, for my parents. You are now where your life is as younger people. You're building a platform for the people who will follow you. The church is living stones, Peter says. And Jesus, God builds them in. And I want to hold up those who will stand on me by living as though faith is more. The most important thing is to walk by faith, not by sight, and hand that generation a platform that's good, so that they'll hand that generation, the next generation, a good platform. Alex and Pastor Colton and Spencer and Aaron and all the guys I know here that are young. Travis. Yay. I praise God for you, because my granddaughters will stand on what you build. And if you build on the rock, Jesus Christ, it's eternal. So please build on the rock. You will be nurturing them in the faith. And that means a lot to me. Someone did that for me. I can still remember our youth leader. He was a kick in the pants. He was a lot of fun. But when we sat down with the Word of God, he was serious. He was building into my life, and I didn't even know it. Anyway, if I can clean up my thinking and I can stay right with God in my soul, worship team, you can come up. I will also be able to sing this next ascension song. This next pilgrimage song that's in your Bible. Psalm 133. Do you know which one that is? If you each take care of business with Jesus, and I take care of business with Jesus, and I do that all week long, not just on Sunday. When I get here on Sunday, this platform is filled with people who are excited to serve Jesus, and it lends itself to unity. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. If you want a picture of that that's fresher than this, look at Acts, the book of Acts. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard, running down on the beard, of Aaron. Alex, would you come up here? I already got one bearded guy up here. Yeah, Alex is, you got the beard on the beard on the beard. So, you're my example, Alex. We have unity and love. I hardly know you, but I sure like you because I see Jesus in you. So, picture this. We're walking together in unity, and God pours out oil, and it doesn't stay here on the head. They didn't go to the little cross up here. Be blessed. They took a whole flax. Blah, 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 and it ran. Things go downhill. Anyway, it drips on him and goes all over him. And we're what? We're royal priests. You and I are royal priesthood. God is pouring out his Holy Spirit on it. It's not supposed to stay on me. It's supposed to go poof, cover the whole church. If we'll take care of business, we'll lend ourselves to this power. Look what he says here. It is like the dew of Hermon. It's like running down. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there, at that place where there's unity, where people have taken their, you disappeared, have done business with God. They've done business with God. And so they're right, they're pure, they're holy, they're walking in truth. Anyway, there is a commanded blessing. Do you want a commanded blessing every Sunday? Yes. Hallelujah. Do you want one during the week? Yes. Hallelujah. Take care of business. Don't let Satan will try to crowd stuff in there. It could be as simple as someone pulled out way too early and you almost ran over him. I'm going to bumper him. No, that's not Jesus. And then to carry it for a week, like I just did. But I have calmed my soul. And I come to church. There's nothing between me and God. And my mind is not filled with cotton, hay, and rags. It's filled with the beauty of God's holiness. And there cannot help but be a blessing of unity, a commanded blessing. Hallelujah. Let's practice that from the oldest to the youngest. Let's take care of business. Thank you for listening today. And it all comes from that word, surrender. Not an easy word. I noticed in your bulletin on the prayer request, please pray that there would be unity in the church. Ours and the church at large, especially the churches in Sweet Home. Do you know how you know when God's present? He draws people in. How do you know when Satan's having his way? Separation. Satan divides, God multiplies. I like what Robert Morris said in one of his sermons. How do you know when the Satan is lying? His lips are moving. That's all he can do is speak lies. And he does not care how he separates a marriage or how he separates a church. He doesn't care how it happens as long as it happens. And how he separates a country, a house divided against itself. Jesus said, it's not going to stand. Let's take care of business as Christians and at least have the church standing when it's all over. Praise God.